Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dotto Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
5 seconds to go. Towns with 2 seconds. Ingram for the win. Good! It's good! At the buzzer, Loyola has won it. Loyola has defeated Miami.
There is no other time to do anything else. Wardenburg runs the baseline. He lets it fly toward the rim. It is tipped, and that's the horn. It's all over. Loyola of Chicago celebrates. Wild jubilation for Loyola. Desolation for Miami.
Pass in front of Shawnee. It's stopped by Adobin from Ekblad now in the right circle. Dadenau puts it in front, and they score! Aaron Ekblad got behind everybody. He's able to jam it home, and the Panthers have a 1-0 lead. The near side on a bank on the boards, taken by Dadenau into the offensive end. In front, they score! Nick Bukestad drives the net, gets a stick on it, and the Panthers have a 2-0 lead. Yandel backs across the blue line. Trocheck, right circle shot. He scores, top shelf. Vincent Trocheck, a power play goal. And the Panthers have a 3-0 lead.
Please vote on the poll that I just added. Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
Don, are you going to blame Luca for that one, too, right there?
Yeah, I'm going to blame the 2.5-week-old kid at home that doesn't allow me to get any sleep, and then I have to help feed and change the diapers, man. It's a hard life I'm living.
You're going so well, and then you had to put up a oh wait, I got to do this. So close, Dono.
And I mentioned to young Biff, who's like 16, no children, so he doesn't understand these things.
16 and a half, thank you very much.
What are you for real, 22, 21?
Next week, Wednesday, 22.
Oh, look at you. You're still 21 for another day, for another week.
Oh, I'm trying to stay 21 as long as I can.
Forever 21. So I tried to explain this to Biff, and I strongly believe this, having, you know, a 18-day, I don't do math, I think he's 18 days old, something like that, at home. And, you know, we have had the good fortune and the family love that we've had. Couple days, we had my mother-in-law staying with us and my wife's aunt staying with us, so we have some help around the house. So I'm not going to say there's no help around the house, and my parents live nearby, they can help as well. But so having had either the mother-in-law or the aunt staying in our house, you know, we all kind of are on different sleep schedules because it's easier to contribute to the baby when different people have different sleep shifts and all that. And I maintain, and any parents out there that have been through this, I maintain that there is nothing more stressful than trying to keep your kid from crying and waking up other people that are sleeping in the house. It's very stressful because there are times when I'm on a shift to watch my son solo, and he loves me, by the way. He knows that I'm the greatest human being ever. He wants to be just like me when he grows up. But there's nothing more stressful than when I'm the only person awake in the house. My wife's sleeping in our bedroom. I'm in the living room with the baby. The mother-in-law is sleeping in another bedroom, and my house is not that big to shield. Like, I can't just take him to like the east wing and shield off all the noise. When the kid starts crying at 1 a.m, and I'm trying not to wake up anybody else that's sleeping, and I'm doing my damnedest to keep him from waking up the neighbors and waking up the other people in my house, there's nothing more stressful than that. Nothing more stressful. I defy you to come up with something more stressful than that. You should vote on the poll that I just posted on Twitter. At Alex Dono is where you find me. Dono spelled D-O-N-N-O. Canes fans, will you root for Loyola Chicago the rest of the way to validate Miami's defeat? Or do you root for them to lose out of revenge? Two schools of thought there. Loyola Chicago is the team that knocked you out of the tournament. So in order to validate that, you hope they make a Cinderella Final Four run. Or are you so bitter about the way that yesterday went down that you would like to see them lose as quickly as possible? 14 votes in so far. 64% nope, hope they lose. 36% root for them. All right, so there you go. We have kind of a glass half empty type of crowd
One
here.
One thing I don't get about your vote, though, that you want them to kind of win, right? Yeah. That's what you want to do?
Yeah.
You're on Team Petty. That's the exact opposite of being on Team Petty.
I don't know. I think it's
it confuses me. It bothers me, actually.
I don't think that's the same thing, though. Like Team Petty is about somebody leaving your team, going somewhere else, and then you hope they don't have success somewhere else. Because like I'm going to go through that, I guarantee you. You know, the soccer team that I root for, Inter Milan. A lot of rumors that they're going to lose their top striker.
Icardi,
perhaps to Real Madrid or a big club somewhere else.
You should go to PSG. Don't really need him, but, you know, just take him from you. Yeah,
it's been thrown around. Any team with that much money has been thrown around. I'm not going to root for Icardi if he goes to another team. Like, that's the Team Petty in me, right? Like, if he goes to Real Madrid and then I'm fortunate enough to see Inter match up with Real Madrid in the Champions League, or, you know, Real Madrid, Icardi match up with anybody, I'm going to root against the guy because I'm bitter that he's not. That's Team Petty. I don't think that a team that beats you and then hoping that team keeps winning to make you look better because, hey, we lost, but we lost to a great team. I don't think that's the same thing as being Team Petty. So that would be my vote. They don't let me vote on my own Twitter poll, but if I could, my vote would be I will root for Loyola Chicago because I would like the team that knocked Miami out of the tournament to go deep in the tournament to say, hey, at least we lost to a really, really good team. But the 67% of the vote is going the other way. Hope they lose. You know, with there may have been a time, even last season, where you thought, you know, Ndamukong Suh, kind of untouchable. Certainly don't see Miami cutting him. You may have thought the same about Mike Pouncey. Yeah, we had hopes. I think we all had suspicions that Jarvis Landry would not be a Dolphin this year. He's going to be Cleveland Brown. God help him. God save us all. But I think there were plenty of suspicions that, hey, the Dolphins and Landry, they're going to have trouble finding a compromise with him wanting $15 million a year and $50 million guaranteed. There's no way the Dolphins go that high. You could realistically see him taking his talent somewhere else. You know, and Jay Ajayi gets dealt away last season. I don't think we saw that coming, especially in the middle of the year in late October, the way that it happened. But as a result, you've seen players who less than a year ago were four of the cornerstones of the Miami Dolphins franchise, four of the most recognizable players on the Miami Dolphins franchise. And they're no longer here. And with the players that are left, right, with the roster purge that's been going on, because I think for all those guys, you could see the pros and cons, right? With Ndamukong Suh, still a very elite defensive tackle, one of the best in the NFL, but his contract is stupid money. Stupid money to pay someone who's not a quarterback, the $114 million. It's ridiculous. With Jarvis Landry, really important player to this Dolphins franchise, but if a slot receiver thinks he's worth $15 million a year, no thanks. I think a lot of people could see that. Mike Pouncey, that's an easy one. I mean, Mike Pouncey was an easy one because, you know, as important as Pouncey has been to this team at times, you know, being a three-time Pro Bowler, you know, when he was younger and healthier, one of the best, if not the best centers in the NFL. But now Mike Pouncey's hip is a ticking time bomb. Mike Pouncey's hip is degenerative. And the Dolphins were able to save at least $7 million under the cap by getting rid of Mike Pouncey. You could see the pros to releasing him as well. Is there anybody left on this roster who's untouchable? Is there anybody left on this Dolphins roster that you would say, God help us, we cannot get rid of this player? Because I have one in mind, but I think I only have one in mind, right? Like, would anybody really argue if the Dolphins dealt away Ryan Tannehill? Would you cry over that? You know, I know that there are some young players you have high hopes for, like Xavien Howard or Raekwon McMillan, who we haven't even really seen play yet because he tore out his knee. Very first play he played on special teams in preseason last year. You know, there are certain players, like in Kenyon Drake, I think, is another one of those guys. These are young players that you have hopes for the future, but they're not really commodities yet. Right? When you look at some more of the established guys, you know, Kenny Stills, good player, very polarizing. If the Dolphins got rid of him, it would not be universally panned. I think a lot of people would say, well, that's just how things go sometimes. Ryan Tannehill, same thing. Is there anybody on that roster who's really untouchable? Because the only guy, and here's another one, Cameron Wake, right? Because Cameron Wake, 36 years old, we love him, but you could say, hey, if the Dolphins need to go younger, you can kind of understand the thinking there. As much as I want to see Cam Wake retire as a Miami Dolphin, I think you would understand if the Dolphins were to, you know, part ways with that guy. I think the only player on this roster who's untouchable that would be universally would be panned if the Dolphins got rid of him is Rashad Jones. I think that's the one guy. I think
Wake.
Well, I just said Cam Wake, him being 36 years old, I think fans would say, you know what, his best years are behind him.
I could see that one.
I mean, Rashad Jones in his prime. In his prime, you know, maybe he's not, he doesn't have that Ed Reed sort of gravitas as a team leader, but Rashad Jones, best player on that defense, especially now after Ndamukong Suh is no longer here, there's no question about it. Best player on that defense. He's not a distraction. He's not a cancer in the locker room. Perennial Pro Bowler. Like and he's been very amenable. Like, he's restructuring his deal to save money under the cap. There's no reason to get rid of Rashad Jones. Like, I think that's the one guy on this Dolphins roster who is untouchable. That if the Dolphins were to, if they were to cut or trade Rashad Jones, I think every fan would be outraged by it if they were to get rid of that guy. I think that's the one guy left on this roster.
See, one player I'd be outraged if I was a Dolphins fan, if they got rid of Charles Harris. If they got rid of Charles Harris this offseason, I'd be outraged, because what was the point of using him as a first-round pick?
Yeah.
That's a player I could see doing.
But you're still going entirely on potential. Because the same thing I was saying about, you know, like a Raekwon McMillan or Cordray Tankersley or Xavien Howard, like, these are players who have not really blossomed yet. Whereas Rashad Jones is the whole package. Rashad Jones is established. Rashad Jones is, you know, he's a perennial Pro Bowler. He's in his physical prime. He's obviously flexible enough to make some sacrifices under the salary cap.
What do you think about Laremy Tunsil? One of the texters just texted in him. I think he's personally, he's the, you could like move him and it wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, only because he was above average last year. Like, Laremy Tunsil was not, he wasn't elite last year. So it's like, if you were to pull the plug on Laremy Tunsil, a lot of fans would say, well, he regressed in his second year. This is not, you know, the projected former number one overall pick. I know the Dolphins ended up getting him at what, number 12, but he was projected to be a first overall pick before teams started trading up for quarterbacks. I think a lot of fans would say, with the step backwards he took in the second year, that's not somebody that you have to marry yourselves to. I don't think you would be outraged the same way that you would be outraged about Rashad Jones. I think Rashad Jones is the one guy. Like, there's no argument for cutting him. There's no argument for getting rid of that guy. Anybody else there, there's pros and cons. If you cut Ryan Tannehill, well, Ryan Tannehill has been just stuck in quicksand for 6 years. He's never turned into a franchise quarterback. Yeah, I know if they were to get rid of Kenny Stills, a lot of people would be happy. Oh, we got rid of the protester. Like, there's no downside or no upside whatsoever to getting rid of Rashad Jones. I think he's the one guy that's untouchable. But is he the biggest star on this Miami Dolphins team? Since I haven't done this in a while, instead of a top three, we're doing a top five today. We'll still play the top three open because that's how we do things around here. My top five biggest Miami Dolphins stars.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
You hear people bring this up a lot, that, hey, if I want to invest my money in a Miami Dolphins jersey, whose jersey do I get? Now, my answer to this always is a Dan Marino throwback. You cannot go wrong with a Dan Marino throwback, but if you insist on a current player, I say you invest in a Cam Wake, because you know he's going to be a Dolphins Ring of Honor guy. That's a safe investment, because guess what? A year ago at this time, if you bought a Jarvis Landry or a Mike Pouncey jersey or a Jay Ajayi jersey, you've got a collector's item now. None of those guys are on this team anymore. Well, maybe having a collector's item is not the worst thing, but if you wear it to the stadium, you might feel strange supporting somebody who's no longer on the team. But there aren't a lot of guys at this point with Pouncey gone, with Landry gone, with Ajayi being gone, then Ndamukong Suh gone, not a whole lot of star power left on this Dolphins team. So you have to dig pretty deep on some of these. And certainly tell me if you disagree. But here are my top five stars on the Miami Dolphins. I go from number five to number one. Number five, I go with Kenyon Drake. Right? I mean, Kenyon Drake, the way that he played, specifically after Jay Ajayi was dealt, a lot of promising stuff there. This is a home run hitter, still a solid special teams contributor, outside of being a very competent running back. And a lot of fans take to Kenyon Drake. That's my number five. My number four, Kenny Stills. I know he's polarizing. I know that Kenny Stills is the kneeler. Now, to that, I would counter and say, the reason why I have no issue whatsoever with Kenny Stills. In fact, I sing his praises as to what he does in the community. I have never covered a player, maybe since Alonzo Mourning, I have never covered a player who does as much charity work and as much community outreach as Kenny Stills. I mean, if you want to hold it against this guy, oh, he's a kneeler during the national anthem. He does so much to help underprivileged and to help with police relations with the community. Kenny Stills is out there. He's active. And he is one of the more popular Dolphins. I put him at number four. Number three, Rashad Jones. For all the reasons I stated, although Rashad Jones doesn't have the sizzle to be the type of guy that fans are going to necessarily run to the team store to buy the jersey for. That's why, even though I may not agree with this, I go with Ryan Tannehill at number two, because Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback. And I see a lot more, for better or for worse, I see a lot more Ryan Tannehill jerseys walking around the concourses at Hard Rock Stadium than I do Rashad Jones jerseys. I would like to change that, but that's what I see. People support the starting quarterback, even if the starting quarterback has been painfully mediocre for his entire career. Then my number one, I think this is an absolute no-brainer. Absolute no-brainer. Because this is a guy who, yeah, probably never win a Super Bowl. And he's going to have to make, I think, a pretty difficult case to get into the Hall of Fame. But he is a no-doubter Ring of Honor, future Ring of Honor guy at Hard Rock Stadium. And he is one of my favorite modern-day Miami Dolphins. I've had a lot of fun covering this guy. I say that for however much longer his career lasts. I think Cam Wake is the number one. Cam Wake is the number one top star on this Miami Dolphins team. And if you insist on investing in a jersey for a current Miami Dolphin and not for a throwback for somebody of the past, I say you invest in a Cameron Wake. That's the most safe investment out there. This is a guy who I would expect is going to finish his career in Miami. And even if he doesn't, he's a Ring of Honor guy. So it's a safe investment to buy a Cameron Wake Miami Dolphins jersey. By the way, at least one texter agrees with me on Rashad Jones being the one guy left on this roster who's not expendable. Everyone except Rashad Jones is expendable, he writes, and that includes Gase and Stephen Ross himself. You're probably right about that. We're going to talk some puck with a P when we come back. Bill Lindsay, former Florida Panther color analyst for our Florida Panthers, will join us next here on WQAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Yeah. Brassy girls everywhere. Hands in the air. So party over here. Checking for the man of the year. Man at a bounce. Brassy girls everywhere. Hands in the air. So party over here.
Tomorrow is not only St. Patrick's Day, but it's Pro Wrestling Day at the BB&T Center when the Florida Panthers take on the Edmonton Oilers. Going to talk some Panthers here with our man, the Blonde Bomber. Bill Lindsay, color analyst for your Florida Panthers, former Florida Panthers player, joins us here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Now, Bill, I know that our broadcast partner, Doug Plagans, is a huge pro wrestling guy. Are you a pro wrestling fan at all?
A little bit. The Hart brothers grew up in Calgary, so I paid attention a little bit when I was young. But as I've grown older, I've grown out of it, I guess would be my answer to that question. Doug Plagans, not so much.
Yeah, he's a wrestling fan forever. I go through like periods, like I'll watch WrestleMania every year and I'll kind of try to get into it, but I'm just one of those people who will watch WrestleMania and just sort of let it die for a year after that. So I'm kind of in the same boat as you, but I always look forward to pro wrestling. That. How about St. Patrick's Day, Bill? You got any plans to knock back a few beers after the game tomorrow?
Not too much tomorrow. I'll be pretty low key. I got some stuff to do Sunday. Then I got to go on the road on Monday morning at 5 o'clock and get up to New Jersey to do some work. For all that work, so I'm just gonna kind of take it this easy this weekend. Been a lot of hockey games and got some more hockey to cover up in Secaucus, New Jersey. So it's one of those stretches where you're just kind of busy. What about you? What about you with the new baby? Is Patty still in the plan?
If I do anything, I'll be drinking at home, Bill. Like I'm not gonna pretend that I'm gonna go out to an Irish pub somewhere. Like I may pick up a couple cases of beer on the way home from Panthers Insider tomorrow morning and just do like an afternoon drinking sesh. But there's no way I go anywhere because we've got the 18 day old at home. So there's no chance I do anything formative.
Yeah, that's maybe you put a little green dye in the milk for.
Yeah, that we should do that.
get some green milk for the baby.
That is not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. Now, Bill, I was so impressed by the way the Florida Panthers played last night in a 3-0 victory over the Boston Bruins. I know it's a shorthanded Boston team, but this is still one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, still a ton of firepower. And the Panthers, Bill, completely shut them down from James Reimer onto the forward lines. I thought the Panthers played very close to a flawless game last night.
It was good, and it started from the start. The Panthers had poor starts against Montreal, a bad start against the Rangers, got away with it. It was backed by some good goaltending. And then against Ottawa, he came out, got another bad start, fell behind 2-0. Weren't able to really recover in that game, was chasing the game against the Senators, lost. Then he come again against Boston, the second highest scoring team in the NHL. You have to be ready to play. They've been lighting up the score sheet. And James Reimer was terrific, but the guys and the team came out and they were prepared. And they got that early lead, played a full 60 minutes of hockey. One of the best games of the year, top to bottom. Boston, even with a depleted lineup, is still one of the best teams in the NHL. It was a tough test. And this Panther team, for whatever reason, seems to rise to the occasion and get it done against some of these top teams. It's going to be a tough test the rest of the way, but it's tight, and this team's got a shot to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Bill, I don't have the hockey mind that you do in terms of tactics and things like that. So can you explain, you know, in layman's terms, how this team has really molded to Bob Bugner's philosophy, the head coach? Because I would like to imagine that some of the struggles they had earlier in the season probably had to do with kind of adjusting to a new head coach and a new philosophy. So what are some of the ways that they've kind of fallen in line and are now matching up with what their head coach wants them to do?
Well, the biggest thing that Bob Bugner wants is he wants pressure, and he wants it all over the ice. He wants to create turnovers, and he wants this team to go the other way in transition, in speed, and be able to attack. For everyone to pressure, you got to be on the same page. You got to have a lot of communication, and it takes time to develop that. If you got a new group, a lot of teams will sit back, collapse, and just try and take it easy. But Bob Bugner wants pressure, wants to create turnovers, and he knows that he's got a very fast team. And you've got to be able to find the right line chemistry. There was some juggling going on with the D partners. Now your lines are all set. The defensive pairings are all set. So the communication's there. That allows this team to attack, to do what they want to do. When they get the puck, transition, gone, play north-south hockey, which is in straight lines, force a lot of pressure on the defensemen. So it took a while, I think, everyone to trust everyone and what they were going to do defensively to create these turnovers, to create that transition game. But everyone seems to buy in, and a lot has to do just with finding the chemistry in the lines and the defensive partners.
You know, the Panthers, Billy, tomorrow afternoon, it's a 2 p.m. faceoff, by the way, at the BB&T Center. So 2 p.m. faceoff, it'll be a 1:30 pregame time for us on the radio side of things. And the Panthers will go up against, Bill, maybe the most dynamic player that I've ever seen with my own eyes in Connor McDavid when the Panthers host the Edmonton Oilers. What are the keys to matching up with a guy like that with his speed on the ice, and how do you see the Panthers matching up with Edmonton tomorrow?
It's going to be a tough test. You're going to have to do it probably with a couple lines. You're going to put Barkov out there against him sometimes, Trocheck. McDavid plays a lot, but he's probably the fastest player ever to play the game in the history of the game, ever. He is that fast. So when you talk a guy that you want to come out and try and pay attention to, Edmonton has not had success, but he's a guy that can win a game single-handedly. And what you have to do against him is you have to have the back pressure from your forwards, have to attack, and that allows your D to stand up at the offensive blue line or defensive blue line. So he can't gain those easy entries into the zone, because if he gets into your zone with speed and then he can get that creativity going, start to look for other players, then you're in trouble. And the only way you can really combat that is gap control, time and space. You hear it a lot, but that's the message. You got to be able to be as tight as possible to him and just try and limit that speed, because once he gets going and has the puck and he's got some room to operate, you're going to pay a price.
Yeah, he's deadly, Bill, when he gets into space. It's unbelievable. So it should be a fun one tomorrow at the BB&T Center. And, you know, Bill, the Panthers have been playing so well these last couple of months, and they currently sit 3 points out of the final playoff spot, but they've got games in hand compared to everybody. It's New Jersey who occupies the final playoff spot. They've played 70 games. The Panthers have played 68. Then Columbus is up there with 81 points in a wild card spot. They've played 3 more games than the Panthers have. What do you think it's going to take the rest of the way, Bill, over these final 14 games? What kind of a record, how many points will the Panthers need to punch that ticket?
9-5 gets you to 95 points. I think it's going to be between 94 and 96 points that gets you there. Excuse me. But the Panthers have the tiebreaker, which is the regulation overtime wins. So if they head in the right direction, finish 9-5, get to 95 points, then they got a pretty good chance. Jersey has a tough schedule going out on the West Coast to play the 3 California teams, and then back to Pittsburgh, and then back home to play Tampa Bay. So they got 5 really tough games. That's maybe what you can look at. Philadelphia, they're an up-and-down team. But you just got to worry about taking care of your own business. I think the Panthers, 9-5, 10-4 gets you in 100%, I think. So 9-5, 10-4 is the number.
He is the Blonde Bomber, Bill Lindsay. Bill, enjoy the call tomorrow at the BB&T Center. Pro Wrestling Day, Panthers versus Edmonton Oilers. Remember, everybody, that's a 2 o'clock start time, so a 1:30 pregame here on the radio network. Bill, enjoy your weekend coming up.
You too. Happy St. Patty's Day, and enjoy it with the baby. I know you will.
Love it. I really got to think about that, putting the green dye in the formula. I can already tell you how that conversation is going to go, and it's going to happen. When I go home tonight, I'm going to see my wife, the lovely mother of my child, and I'm going to tell her, you know what would be really fun? Why don't we put a little green food coloring in the formula tomorrow for the baby? I'll probably get slapped. You know, people get so concerned about, you know, changing anything when you've got an infant, right? Don't change anything about the milk that he's drinking. Don't change anything about the position he sleeps in. I guarantee you that conversation will not go well for me, but it will be had.
I mean, it's understandable. It's understandable. I mean, you know, you don't want to hurt the kid.
That's true.
Who knows what's in food dye, really?
Yeah, you know what? Probably none of us should be eating food dye, right? I mean, they put that yellow number 5 in everything, Mambo number 5. I don't want to put any green. Bump, I probably
bump,
shouldn't.
Bump, 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 bump.
I probably shouldn't even be drinking the beer with the green food coloring. And there are, like, some cities. I got to look this up to where this happened. But there are some towns that will actually, like, dye their river green on St. Patrick's Day. So this celebration goes very deep, my friend. I'm not even sure why in America we celebrate a holiday that has everything.
It's like we celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
But like at least like we border Mexico, so it kind of makes sense.
We have a lot of Irish immigrants.
That's true. We do. We do. Especially in the Northeast, right? Like if you're in Boston, New York City, seems like there's a lot of the Irish in Chicago as well.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you know, I was in last year on St. Patrick's Day. I was in Pittsburgh, and they claimed
professional football team.
They do, and I was right by Heinz Field, in fact. But it was off season; it didn't really matter. But they claimed in Pittsburgh. I did not validate this, but they claimed to have the second largest St. Patty's Day parade in the country, and I happened to be there for that. I did not partake in the parade, but I happened to be in the city when it was going on, and they did it up big there. So you're telling me the second largest St. Patty's Day parade in the country is in Pittsburgh. That would have surprised me had I not seen that last year. All right, so I want to get more clarity on the movie side of my brackets here. Action, sci-fi, horror, although not much horror made the list here. You've got the classic region and the modern region. I put the cutoff at 1990. That's non-negotiable. That's just where we put the cutoff. 1990, anything after that is modern. Anything before that is a classic. Here's how the classic breaks down. The 1 versus the 8 matchup. Jaws at the 1 versus Exorcist at the 8. Although, Biff, tell me if I should swap the Exorcist for Alien, the original.
Nah, keeping the Exorcist. You already have Aliens in there. You can't put the I don't see putting in the sequels and stuff like that.
You know, maybe I should swap Aliens for Alien, the original, because I mean, to me, that's the better film.
I agree with that one. Because, like, the only other movie that you really have, like, there's 2 other movies in there. You have, like, The Empire Strikes Back, but wasn't that, like, episode 5?
Yeah. Sure? And that was a sequel, but it was clearly the best of the – it's the best Star Wars movie ever made.
Yeah, for sure. And then Raiders of the Lost Ark was probably the best of the three Indiana Jones movies. We don't count
Crystal
Skull. That one. That was Harrison Ford senile.
So here – and they're making more of those now, by the way. So you got Jaws at the 1 versus The Exorcist at the 8, Die Hard at the 2 against Alien at the 7. You've got Raiders of the Lost Ark against Back to the Future. That's the 3 versus the 6. Raiders, the 3. Back to the Future, the 6. The Terminator versus Empire Strikes Back. That's the 4-5 matchup. I may swap Empire at the 4, Terminator at the 5. That's a pretty simple change to make. The matchup stays the same. In the modern region, you've got the 1 seed, Jurassic Park, against the 8 seed, Black Panther. The 2 seed is Terminator 2. Remember, that one was made after 1990. The original was made in the 80s, I think like 84, 85, something like that. But Terminator 2 is the 2 seed against Inception at the 7. Then you've got the 3, The Matrix. That was something we tweaked. The Matrix is in. They're a 3 seed. The Matrix at the 3 against The Avengers at the 6. And then the 4-5 matchup is Gladiator versus The Dark Knight. So that's the modern region. We already went through the classic region. We'll talk some movies and TV with my entertainment guy, the infamous kid, Billy Donnelly, will join us next here on WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on South Florida's sports leader. 25 years and counting.
Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
Yeah, I'm really curious to find out in a second how Billy Donnelly feels about Mambo Number 5 being his lead-in. I don't know. It's like I could go either way on that.
You referenced it last segment. That's why I did.
I guess it's like a classic one-hit wonder. We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. This man is our entertainment and pro wrestling correspondent. The infamous kid, Billy Donnelly, joins us. Former South Floridian, now North Carolina living. Bill, how you doing tonight? How you feel about that Mamba Number 5?
Lou Pega, how did that happen?
I somehow made a Mambo Number 5 reference last segment, and Matt Wilson.
That doesn't mean we double down on it. that means we move on from that and pretend it didn't happen.
Well, he did just recently do a Geico commercial or something, didn't he? So he's back in the news.
No, he's not back in the news. He's back from oblivion, and we should send him back. Where he came.
I'm sure we'll never see him again.
You know, before we get started, though, let me offer up my sincerest congratulations to you there,
Thank you.
Big Daddy.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been, it'll be this coming Tuesday, it'll be 3 weeks, and the last 2.5 weeks have been, as you would imagine, you've been through this twice, you've got 2 kids. It's just been a whirlwind, and I'm sure the next 18 years or so will feel the same.
Yeah, I hope you're enjoying all that sleep deprivation. No.
I'm not, but yeah. And you know what? I did want to ask you a parenting question because you have a young son. How old is your son now?
My son will be 9 in April.
And your son, correct me if I'm wrong, has successfully become a big Star Wars fan and a big pro wrestling fan, 2 things you're passionate about.
That is absolutely correct.
So this is something I'm curious about, Bill, because you know I'm a big Star Wars fan as well. How old does my son have to be, you think, before he can really start appreciating, let's say, the original trilogy, the whole expanded universe? Like, how old do you think he will be, my son Luca, before he starts getting into Star Wars?
I mean, you can put it on, you know, around like 3 or 4. They won't fully grasp it, but like there'll be cool things that I think they'll take in, and then they'll, as kids normally do, when you put on movies that they tend to kind of dig, they will watch it 785 times in a row, and then it just naturally becomes a part of them. But I never showed them the prequels.
Yeah,
I didn't show either of my kids the prequels. Yeah. I showed them the original trilogy, and then somehow through the grapevine, they found out that there were these other movies, and I allowed them to watch them, but like I wasn't going to be the one to show them.
I told them
they had to watch it on their own, and they did. They did. But I refused to contribute to the delinquency of minors. So I'm not. That's not going to happen on my watch.
Well, and what? Because we haven't actually talked Star Wars in a while. What's your take on episodes 7 and 8?
I mean, I was a big fan of The Force Awakens when they released it, because it kind of felt like the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of it that on feel. It feels much more in the vibe of those first three movies than the prequels ever did. And then with The Last Jedi, I got to tell you, man, the more I watch it, I really love it.
You know, I've still only seen it once, and I really enjoyed it to the point where I kind of thought there might be something wrong with me, because everyone else was bashing it. And I kind of like the fact that they took a few risks, I think, plot-wise, and that it wasn't as predictable as The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people who don't like it, but out of all the Star Wars movies, this would be the one that like kind of stuck with me. And like days after, I was still really thinking about it and really talking about it in depth with a lot of people. And the more I've talked about it and the more I've thought about it, the more I really like it. And I think you have to. It's a movie that I think demands rewatching, because the first time you watch it, you know, and it's just sort of hitting you. Like, there's a lot to unpack in that movie. And I think once you sort of know what to expect and get that out of the way, you can kind of focus on the dialogue and the characters and the character arcs and the themes and the messages you're trying to talk about. And you'll really come to appreciate, like, how much Rian Johnson managed to pack into this movie, which is still a Star Wars movie. Like, it still is a Star Wars movie. But it's so much deeper than sort of what we've gotten from Star Wars movies in the past, and that's why I kind of really appreciate it.
We're talking with our entertainment and pro wrestling correspondent, Billy Donnelly, with us. And, Bill, I want to get some of your input on what's the first side of my movie and TV bracket for this year. This is the movie side. We've got it divided into the classic bracket and the modern bracket. Since I'm a little bit lazy, we're not going with 16 in every region. We're going, it's a field of 32. So we have 8 in the classic category, which is, I put the cutoff at 1990. So before 1990, then the modern is after 1990. And we're not doing dramas or comedies, because we did those last year. We're going with action, sci-fi, and a little bit of horror mixed in. So you're ready? Are you ready for the classics region?
Well, you're trying to come up with, I guess, the best of the field.
Yeah.
I mean, I can come up with some off the top of my head.
Okay.
Plot them where you want to based on their date. But if you're looking for, like, particularly action, you know, I think you would have to toss in, you'd have to probably go with what I think are like the, you know, 4 of the best action movies I've seen in recent time, or even beyond recent time. You probably have to start with Die Hard.
Yeah, it's a 2 seed, yeah.
Yeah, you probably got to start with Die Hard. I would throw the 2 Raid movies in there, both the Raid Redemption and the Raid 2. If you haven't seen those and you're an action fan, you should punch yourself in the face because you're not worth a damn if you call yourself an action fan but you haven't seen those, because those are 2 all-timers. And because they're foreign films, they're able to do a lot more than we do here in the United States as far as stunts are concerned. So So, like, you really got to go to those two movies, I would think.
I got to consider that then.
You would John Wick. I would put in there for action films. I would put the Dread remake in there as well as far as action films.
I haven't seen that. So you like that remake?
Yeah, it's tremendous. Huh. So I would throw that in there. Science fiction, if you wanted to mix some things up. Looper, I think, is amazing. You know, we obviously got to go with the original Alien.
Yep, it's in there.
Going science fiction. Even you know, 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, you know what? I had that in my original draft. I love 2001. I know my audience, and I know it's not going to get the votes. Like the same way that.
You know what? If that one loses, if you put that on a bracket, uh-huh. and that loses to something like Fast Five. You know what? You should shame your audience.
There are no fast movies. Well, let me ask you one thing real quick, because these are both classics. 2001 was in the late 60s. This other one was in the 70s. Who do you think is more deserving to make it? Because I only think we have room for one of these. Would you go with 2001 or The Exorcist?
I mean, The Exorcist is classic horror, but horror is very subjective. So,
yeah.
So especially if you've never seen The Exorcist before. And you watch it now, there's a lot of people who they wouldn't find it terrifying or frightening. Whereas the people who saw The Exorcist when it happened, it's really solid horror. But there are things that you can also throw in there, like Get Out is an amazing modern horror film.
Yeah.
The first Strangers movie, I think, is really good horror. And then you can even something like Jaws. Like Jaws
is the one seed. Yeah, Jaws is the one seed in the classics.
Yeah, so I mean, it's always hard to sort of pin down horror because you know what one person finds terrifying and horrifying, other people won't. And it's really a mixed bag because psychological horror plays well for some people, and other people are like, oh, that doesn't scare me. And then there are other people who like slasher films. And, like, how many of those can you really watch before they start feeling the same?
I got to get your input on one more thing before we run out of time in a second. Because in the modern side, one thing that was challenging, because obviously a lot of these movies are very popular, but very few are deserving in my eyes, superhero films, Bill. The ones that have made the cut so far, The Dark Knight, The Avengers, the first Avengers movie. And
no, get that out of there.
Okay.
Avengers doesn't belong in there.
What about Black Panther?
Black Panther is like in my top five of overall Marvel films. But like, if you're going to go with like the best Marvel film, you probably got to go with Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Like, to me, that's heads and tails above all the other Marvel films. That I think is the best. Like Black Panther, I had this conversation with somebody just last night, and I think Black Panther ranked about like four for me, and that was behind Captain America Civil War, the original Iron Man, and then Captain America the Winter Soldier at the top. So the Avengers for me, I think, is kind of like average. I know a lot of people like it, you know, because everybody's in the movie.
Right.
But, you know, like the whole middle chunk of the movie is Iron Man repairing the helicarrier. So, like, how exciting is that, really? So.
Oh, man. I appreciate your time, as always, my friend. I'll make sure you're in the loop once we go live with these things. We're going to do the voting on Twitter starting next week. I want to get this started on Monday night, so I'll make sure you're in the loop on this. You want to follow this man on Twitter at Infamous Kid. Did I get that? At Infamous Kid with two D's at the end. Billy Donnelly. Thank
correct.
You so much, my friend.
All right, I'm going back to watch more basketball.
Yes. Which is what I wish I could be doing tomorrow afternoon with my Canes. 9 o'clock hour of the Alex Donnelly Show. We'll have Clickbait coming up at around 9:25. Clickbait has a food theme today. Keep it locked to WQAM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Sports.